Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sure you want a pint of that podcast? The percentage of humour is very high. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast.
Hello, Ed Gamble.
Hello, James Acaster. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. I very much enjoyed that introduction. I thought it was great.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, where myself and James Acaster ask a very special guest what, James?
Their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
Yes, indeed. And the special guest this week is the wonderful comedian Hari Kondabolu. Hari, like I say, is a brilliant comedian. He's a brilliant writer. He's got stand-up specials out there. He also had a documentary recently called The Problem with Apu, James.
A fantastic documentary. And if you got angry about it, you're an idiot.
Yes. It sort of investigates the cultural issues behind Hank Azaria doing Apu's voice in The Simpsons. Very interesting, very progressive, lovely to move forward and discuss these things and move forward in an adult way.
Yes, in an adult, grown-up way.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Hari's dream meal. Very excited to find out. But, of course, we will be removing him from the restaurant if he says a secret ingredient.
Absolutely. It pains me to do so. But if he says a secret ingredient, he is out the door. And this week's secret ingredient is Bertie Bott's Every Flavour Beans.
Bertie Bott's Every Flavour Beans. This was James's suggestion. I don't know if you need telling.
It could be anyone's suggestion.
Bertie Bott's Every Flavour Beans from, I believe, the Harry Potter series. Yes, James?
Yeah, but they've been made a reality now, Ed. They're out there in the real world, like most things from Harry Potter have become real.
And have you had them?
Oh, I've had them, and some of them are nice, but some of them are like earwax flavour or vomit flavour, and the nice ones aren't worth the bad ones, put it that way.
Right, so if Hari suggests Bertie Bott's Every Flavour Beans in his dream meal...
Yes, you never know.
Yeah, I suppose you never know.
People might do this. People might be like, I had the Bertie Bott's Every Flavour Beans,
yeah,
and actually I really loved them. I even loved the little earwax ones that make you appreciate the raspberry ones or whatever. You never know. Some people might like these things. And then they'll like, throw them in at the end.
Yeah. Well, we will be kicking about the dream restaurant, which will be awkward because we are recording it in his apartment.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty difficult. Being yeah. Like on your bike, get out of your own apartment. We own this place now.
Get down the fire escape.
Oh.
Is it New York? Have we mentioned that yet?
Oh, yeah. We haven't mentioned that we're recording this in New York.
So
we probably needed that bit of context for the listener.
Yeah. Before I made my fire escape joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fire escape's on the outside of the building. It goes all the way down the metal steps, all the way down the side of the building.
That's pretty good. That's
good. Get out of the outside of the building, Howie. You suck. Pick at the bloody bots every flavored beans. I don't want the earwax in my meal.
Right, let's hear the off-menu menu of Hari Kondabolu.
Well,
Welcome, Hari Kondabolu, to the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome, Hari Kondabolu. We've been expecting you for some time.
Now, what do you think of that sound effect?
I'm assuming you're replacing it in post. Is there a post?
Oh, no, we don't do anything in post. That is what goes on the actual episode.
Oh, okay,
episode.
That wasn't a placeholder.
No way. The only thing we're going to do in post is going to replace what you just said with great sound, James. Really liked it.
I'm assuming you're a waiter genie. That must be what's happening. Yeah.
Oh, a genie who is also a waiter. What a lovely surprise.
We'll get you saying that later so we can cut that
fair
in.
Fair enough.
That'd be perfect. Yeah, we will put that in. Yeah, a moose bush.
What a moose bush.
Would you like an amused boosh? An amused boosh?
Now, this, Hari, is when, before we started recording, I said that James has introduced a new format point without telling me. This is it. And every single American guest we've had on has gone, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, good.
Yeah, don't worry. Everyone has been confused by it. Sometimes you go for a meal and they give you a little thing beforehand, like an unexpected thing that you don't, you've ordered your food and then they're like, hey, here's a little...
This is from the chef.
A little something. Yeah, that's an amused boosh.
And just an amused boosh. It's not an amused boosh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Amused boosh?
Yeah.
I've been calling them amused booshes. That's what I've been saying.
Amuse boosh.
Why is it just amuse boosh?
Because it's French.
I thought the boosh is amused.
No, it's amused after you have the amuse boosh, right? They don't come and hand you an amused mouth.
I thought it was amused.
No, because the mouth is the thing that's being amused. The amusing is done by the amuse boosh.
So it's boosh mouth?
Yes.
Amuse.
It's like it's to excite.
Excite the mouth.
But the boosh is accurate then. There's definitely a boosh involved.
There's a boosh involved, yeah, but the, boosh involved. The tense is wrong.
Okay.
Yes. I've been getting the tense wrong a lot of the time.
That's probably why you were confused.
Oh, that's exactly why I was confused.
You know what an amuse-bouche is, but not an amused bouche.
Yeah. So it's just a little snack from the kitchen. They often say this is from the chef, and then I'm always a bit confused by that.
Right.
Because you think, well, surely all the food's coming from the chef.
Right.
Yeah.
But this was like specifically like, let them try a little bit of this.
Sure. Yeah.
Something.
Is it usually because someone like they like the person that they're serving it to, or is it just like anybody could get it?
I think anybody could get it, but it feels like it's just for you.
Yeah. It always does.
It makes the meal feel extra special. You've got something, you know.
And what's the amuse-bouche?
Oh, yeah. It's a giant Toblerone.
Whoa. Wait, so the chef makes their own Toblerone?
Oh, that'd be good.
Should have thought that through.
Yeah, probably should make their own Toblerone. Yeah. Would you prefer that?
I mean, if it's coming from the chef, otherwise I'm just assuming, he bought a Toblerone, couldn't finish it, let's give it to the customers.
Yeah, it looks like it's just bought at the airport and then, palmed off on you.
That's the only place it's available, I believe, is at the airport.
Yeah, the giant ones.
Yeah.
That's too much for an amuse-bouche, surely, James.
Huh?
That's too much, isn't it?
What?
Do you want Hari to eat the whole thing?
Well, I thought what could happen is that we'll just unwrap it and then put it in front of him, and then we can slot his food choices in between the little triangles, so you can eat it as you go along.
Yeah, presuming all your choices are toast, I think that would be
okay. As long as you're only ordering toast and tacos, we're fine. Although, what I mean, would you? Because obviously, there's dark chocolate Toblerones, milk chocolate, white chocolate. Have you got a favorite of the chocolates? I always like asking guests this.
It's great. I
think milk chocolate is certainly I know it's the most childish, but it's the one I like the most. But I've been eating a lot more dark chocolate because I'm aging.
Yeah, sure. And you got to. I mean, it's less guilt.
It's less guilt. It's more bitter and less sweet, which is consistent with aging.
This measures up. You got a brand of dark chocolate that you're getting into at the minute? You got a go-to? I bet Ed has. I bet you £1 million.
£1 million?
That's a lot.
As soon as we ask Ed, he'll be there's my dark
chocolate. Let me check my cabinet right now.
I'll tell you what I've been eating.
Oh, excellent.
Well, we're in Harry's actual apartment. We should point out to the guest at home.
He hasn't gone all the way home to check his cabinet.
No. We're going to wait around.
It's called Made Kase. It's from Madagascar. And it's 70%. So it's still pretty milky.
70%. Yeah. There it is. And there's a lovely little lemur on the packet there holding a cocoa, what's it, bud?
Pod?
Pod, yes.
Bean?
A pod. Beans are in the pod.
One of the saddest things I've ever seen. Is this a good moment to slip this?
Perfectly. In? This is where we do all the sad stories. This bit.
I saw a video of a bunch of cacao farmers, mm-hmm. and they were introduced to chocolate for the first time because they had spent their lives with the growing and sending off this cacao, but they didn't know what it was for. And they were finally given a piece of chocolate, and all of their brains were, this turns into that? And it was really happy. It's nice to see them happy, and then you realize, this sucks.
Yeah.
They never got to enjoy chocolate?
Yeah.
That's like me in podcasts. Like, I record this all the time. I've never listened to one.
But it's slightly different in that no one has been preventing you from listening to
this. That's correct.
This has been available to you all the time. It's free. It's totally free to download.
Yes.
And in fact, it's the opposite, because if you were to listen to this, I'd imagine your reaction would be, oh, this turns into that?
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't be impressed by it. I avoid it for a reason.
How high would you go on the percentage? I've been known to have 100%.
What the fuck? That's baking chocolate, essentially, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's no sugar in it. That's pretty much...
No sugar. 100%. You can get... all you need is one cube, and you just let that melt on the tongue, and then all the flavors develop.
Is there flavor?
Yeah, there's flavor of the cacao pod.
Oh, right.
Do you hallucinate?
Oh yeah, you go to chocolate space.
You go to chocolate space.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, that's pretty exciting, Ed. I didn't know you'd done 100% before.
Oh yeah, I do 100% on the reg. 85 is probably where I hover normally, actually, and then 100 if it's a big night.
If you're hanging out with Jerry Garcia.
Yeah, sure. Me and the boys are tripping.
What percentage have you gone up to?
I think I've tried 90, but I don't prefer it.
No?
I mean, I think 80s is probably pretty good. And this is pretty low, I think, for dark chocolate. 70, right?
70s, you can eat a bar of 70 and feel fine. Like, if you tried to do that with 100, you'd have a nightmare.
I never have joy eating this chocolate. Like, when you have, like, garbage chocolate that you find anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, in any corner shop, it's like, okay, this is really good. Reminds me of childhood. This doesn't remind me of childhood. And it leaves me feeling like this was almost what I wanted it to be. Like, dark chocolate feels like a failed dream. it doesn't give you what you actually wanted.
I think it's pretty sad if someone ate dark chocolate and reminded them of their childhood.
Yeah. Depending on your childhood.
What an awful childhood.
It's like you were raised by Mr. Burns or something. Like, it'd be really bad. Sorry to bring up The Simpsons.
Right. You can bring up The Simpsons.
Sorry.
You can bring up The Simpsons.
I'm so sorry, Harry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean
James,
to.
James, we said we weren't going to bring up
I
The
didn't
Simpsons.
Mean to do it.
You can bring it. I still love The Simpsons despite...
You still love it even though it's kind of got bitter over the years.
No, fans of chocolate haven't threatened to kill me.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Sure,
that's true.
That is and nor did I make a documentary talking about the institutionalized racism that is in chocolate, though there is much.
There is a lot of it. There's a lot of it.
Post-season 10 Simpsons is sort of like 100% dark chocolate.
right.
What
if...
It's difficult to take in more than one cube at a time.
But I would argue that it's not healthy for you in this.
No.
Imagine if I just made documentaries about things I loved in childhood and I just destroy them one by one. And the last one's my mom and dad.
So you would normally start with still or sparkling water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it matter what the company is?
Ah, well, it's whatever company you want it to be. Yeah, it's like your dream water at this stage. So.
Oh, no. Do you mean the company, the people you're eating with?
Oh, sorry, the company that makes the water?
That's irrelevant. But like the, the actual company that makes the water.
Oh, we love going this deep. So if you've got a favorite company.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be that LaCroix, or however we pronounce it.
Oh yeah,
I made up LaCroix, but like, do you all have that?
We don't, but we had it for the first time on this trip.
Yeah,
in Catherine Cohen's apartment. That was the seltzer.
Oh yeah,
we drank.
The seltzer stuff.
Yeah, it's just seltzer.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but then I didn't know that there was like a lot of stuff. I hadn't heard the hype.
Everybody loves it. It's like the biggest. Everyone buys it, and it's like it's just seltzer,
right?
With
yeah.
lots of different flavors that. Some of which are really good and some of which are really bad.
Right, okay.
It's like everything else.
Yeah. But it's just the latest thing.
I would go with Rolling Rock, which is a cheap seltzer brand in America. I would go with that for the sparkling.
Nice.
Right.
And why that? Why that one specifically?
Because it's cheap and it's a way to protest this LaCroix business, LaCroix business, in a way that I feel is like, you know, like the fact I would have the choice of anything in the world. Yeah. And I went for the cheapest possible thing.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Shows you're a man of the people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right at the top, lets people know who you are.
Right.
I thought Rolling Rock was a beer.
That was my first thought.
What am I getting confused with there?
I thought we got an absolute legend. We got an absolute legend in the Dream Restaurant today. He offered a choice of water and then he said beer.
Beer.
Nature's water.
There's water in beer.
I'm going to quickly Google if I meant White Rock seltzer. At which point, yeah, White Rock.
Ah,
too late. You're having a beer.
Drink up. I'm impressed that I knew that Rolling Rock was a beer, though.
Yeah, you're a beer guzzling ledge.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am in a way. I've never had one before. I mean, I'd expect you. Ed's got a much better knowledge of American food and drink than I have, so I'd expect Ed to know that. But I'm quite impressed with myself that I knew that.
Did really well there, man.
Yeah, pretty good, actually. If I was a listener of this podcast, which we've established I'm not, I would think, well done, James. That's really good knowledge. You know? Pop it up or bread! Pop it up or bread, Harry! Pop it up or bread!
Bread, 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 bread. Definitely bread. Olive bread.
Olive bread?
Yeah.
I didn't know that if you said olive bread or olive.
Oh, I love bread. Bread. I love bread.
I love bread.
Yeah.
Olive bread's very nice, too, because it feels like you're getting two appetizers in one. You're getting the olives and the bread.
Ah, you've hacked it. You've hacked the bread course.
Very good. Do you want to put some other appetizers in the bread?
Well, the bread also will have, there's going to be some balsamic vinaigrette mixed with oil on the side.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, if you're sick of just olive bread, you want a little something different.
Yeah,
you have the oil, the vinegar, and the oil and vinegar.
That's very good.
Yeah.
And that was James said, do you want anything? So you got the olives folded in, but this is the Dream Restaurant. If you like nuts, maybe you want to fold in some peanuts as well. Any other sort of bar snacks you want to put in there?
Yeah.
I would like bacon-covered dates.
In the bread?
No, separate from the bread.
No, because it's the bread course, so you're going to have to put them in the bread. Yeah.
Okay.
We give you a big loaf of, like a massive loaf of bread. Which has a pocket of bacon covered dates in it.
So it can be anything in the bread that I want?
Yeah.
Could Reese's Pieces?
Yes.
Potentially, I want Reese's Pieces in the bread.
Yeah. Still in the packet or?
No. Come on, man.
They're just preserved as they were, so you just reach in and get the packet out and eat them.
So you want olives and Reese's Pieces in the bread?
Yes.
And bacon covered dates?
Yes.
Okay, great.
You want to make this bread as big as you like.
Yeah. I want bacon covered dates in the bread.
Yeah.
Which, is that essentially a sandwich?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But it's baked within, but we just need to know whether you want it mixed in with the dough and so there's everything spread throughout or baked in like sort of cavities within.
Yes.
Cavities within.
Cavities. Yeah, so you've got cavity of bacon covered dates, cavity of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
Cavity of olives.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
The word cavity really is unappetizing.
It's not a good food word.
It's like, I think we've found the ultimate hack for this show now.
Yeah.
You could just have an entire massive room-sized bit of bread.
Yeah.
With loads of different meals baked within it.
And then when it comes to the starter, you just go, not for me.
Yeah.
But isn't that essentially what pie is? Like, you just, it's all sorts of different meals just baked inside a shell, isn't it?
So, in answer to the question, poppadoms or bread, you've chosen pie.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
A huge pie.
I would like pie to begin. That's it. Is that a bread? It's a pastry.
Yeah, it's a pastry.
It's a dough based thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could. I mean, you don't need to convince me. I'm fully on board with this weird triple pie.
Yeah. I love this. Also, what kind of bread is it that we're baking all these goods into?
Oh, it's olive bread.
Is
white
bread?
Oh, let's say it's wheat.
Wheat.
I got to be a little healthy.
Yeah. Sure.
Whole wheat. Yeah.
Whole wheat bread. With a pocket of bacon-covered dates in it.
Correct.
A pocket of Reese's Pieces and a pocket of olives.
Yes, and the bread, that means it has to be very thick. It has to be like, we're talking like a couple of bricks.
Yeah.
A couple of bricks thickness of it. Warm?
Of course.
Yeah. So are the Reese's Pieces gone in after or before the baking process? Because they're going to be melted if they're...
After. It's nice to have a little texture, different textures in your bread.
Yeah, agreed. I think you want that. I mean, do you want it like, you know, sometimes people make those cakes now where you cut the cake open and in the middle there's like a core of like M&Ms and it just pours out. Have you seen those?
Jeez, no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's like the middle of the cake has been cored out and they just filled it with M&Ms and then put a lid back on top of that so that when you cut into the cake, it just and it all roll out like that.
It's James's dream and James's dad's dream as well.
Yeah.
Is it real?
Yeah, we've lived it. Me and my dad have lived it together, and it was great. It was at a child's birthday party, and I'll be lying if I said my dad didn't push kids out the way to get to that. But yeah, we couldn't believe it. I think it was full of Skittles, that particular cake. Like, not even M&M's, like Skittles, like proper high sugar, like crazy mad.
Skittles, really?
Yeah, and like the icing was like fluorescent green to this cake. Like there wasn't, the baker wasn't trying to be subtle about it.
Right.
Like this is going to be insane.
Yeah.
Like they were really trying to flag it up early doors.
Also, this is a populist baker. He's not concerned with the craft at all.
No.
He wants people to be happy.
All about the gram.
Yeah.
Knowing that there's going to be photos of that, but then everyone's going to eat it and get a little bit too dizzy.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a pleasant experience eating it. It's going to be an intense sugar high.
While I've been in New York, I've been watching Zumbo's Just Desserts on Netflix. I don't know if you've ever seen that
show. I have not.
It's an Australian baking competition show. and it's Zumbo is the chef who it's all based around.
Mm-hmm.
And they all talk about Zumbo. They're like, he's a genius. He's just a majestic genius of a chef. He bakes these incredible things. There's no one else like Zumbo. And then he appears and he is the most boring man in the universe. He's no charisma whatsoever.
Yeah. I would love to have Zumbo on the show. But I don't mind jeopardizing it by saying he is a boring moron.
But they bake things like that all the time. And the episode I was watching, someone baked a chocolate skull cake and it was red velvet. So when you cut into it, it was all blood in the middle and it all poured out.
Yeah.
Do you like that sort of thing?
No, I don't like that. I don't want my dessert raw and bleeding. Yeah.
You don't want that in the bread? You want a pocket of blood?
No.
Pocket full of blood?
Well, is it actual blood or is it like chocolate syrup?
Oh, it must have been like,
it was like velvet. Raspberry sauce or something, I think. Red velvet with raspberry sauce in the middle.
Raspberry sauce, I don't like that. No.
We can get you real blood.
Yeah. If that's what you're angling for. We thought you wanted us to say no, it's not real.
Well, it would have to be O negative just because I'm O negative.
Okay,
I'm the universal donor.
For emergencies.
Yeah.
So we get you a bag of your own blood for emergencies.
Is O negative like quite a rare type?
No, I think it's split up. It's just O negative can only receive O negative, but can donate blood to anybody.
Uh-huh.
O positive can receive from everybody, but they can't really donate to anybody else but O positive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm special.
So is your partner O positive?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I brought that up the other day. Like how she just takes and I just give.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's the reverse from our real lives. And I'm like, but in a life or death situation, I'm the one that's more useful.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to hope that that's what happens one day.
Right.
Because then it will instantly balance out.
Oh, you need my blood, do you? Oh, is that what? Oh, I thought I wasn't as useful as you were, but... You're bleeding to death, and I happen to have the remedy.
Yeah. I shouldn't have made this speech so long. So we come to your starter.
Yeah.
Big leagues now.
Now, that's when I meant to say bacon-covered dates. Am I allowed to have a second course of bacon-covered dates?
Oh, you are.
You can.
I mean, because you've like kind of hacked this and got your potential starter in the bread,
you
can have another starter. You can tell us how much you love bacon-covered dates.
Right.
And then if you want to, you can pick another starter at this point because you've just hacked the system.
Really have.
Well, then I'm going to say tom kha soup. It's a Thai soup made with coconut milk and a little bit of chicken. Will it go well with the bread? No.
Well, nothing will go well with that bread.
No.
That bread is an absolute Frankenstein of a mess.
Oh, yes. And there's a chance I'll start eating the bread and feel a little sick and stop eating the bread.
Sure.
And good thing there's a second appetizer to get started in addition to the boosh or whatever.
Yeah. Good luck placing this soup in between those Toblerone ridges. You got to get there.
Oh, wait a second. So Mighty Boosh, does that mean the Mighty Mouth?
No, it's spelled differently.
Oh, okay.
On a full disclosure, I was going to ask that earlier.
It might be, though. I don't know what the sort of origins of their name are. Maybe, you know, they're pretty wacky guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind misspelling a French word for a sort of surreal gag.
How's it spelled in Amuse Bouche?
I think it's B-O-U-C-H-E.
That's what I imagined.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Any other questions?
Well, I just imagined it B-O-O-S-H.
Amuse-bouche. You thought the French word was like the mighty bouche.
Yes.
You're the one who suggested this format point. You didn't know what it was?
Well, I've always heard it and never seen it written down because it's never on the menu because it's a surprise.
That's a very good... Yes.
All I've ever heard, I just heard it said, and I thought it was amused Boosh as in Mighty Boosh.
Boosh as in Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard them say. It's never written down. It's a surprise. No one ever writes it down. I bet no one's ever written it down.
So when people come up to you, like a waiter said, an amused Boosh, and you've heard amused Boosh, and you've just been saying, yeah, they do amuse me a lot, actually. Yes. They're a very good comedy duo.
They're very funny. Oh, thank you for my Toblerone.
I just want to go back to the bacon-covered dates, because obviously that was going to be your appetizer.
Yes.
So you're a fan of bacon-covered dates.
Very much so.
Is there a place that you go for bacon-covered dates to?
Places that are generally overpriced, that have tapas. It's very good, but you're never full. And so, but that is usually one of the highlights, is the bacon covered dates. So it's not one specific place. It's
okay.
Generally, I've eaten those at tapas restaurants.
So it's like a Spanish thing, right?
I think so. At least that's the only times I've ever had it, I think.
Now, I'm not sure I've had bacon covered dates. I think I've had a bacon covered prune before.
What? What, at a nursing home? Where is that available?
But they are called devils on horseback. Uh-huh. That's the name for a bacon-covered prune, is devils on horseback.
So the prune is the horse and bacon's the devil?
I guess so, yeah, because the bacon's on the prune. So that would make sense, but it is wrapped all the way around a prune. So you'd have to imagine the devil sort of curled all the way around and gripping onto his own legs under the horse's undercarriage.
I would imagine dates, if prunes are horses, dates are stronger than prunes, right?
Bigger, you reckon?
Stronger animals than... Yeah.
So what's the... I was thinking, I thought it would be more like a donkey.
What a date would?
Yeah.
I think a prune is the donkey of the date.
Well, it's a horse. We've established that.
Yes, but like, I would, if I was to imagine which one would be a donkey out of the prune, because all I imagine with prunes is obviously old people and dumps.
Yes.
Taking a nice dump.
Yeah, so I just think that's a... I'd associate that more with a donkey than a horse.
Mm.
So if a prune is a horse, I'd say a date was like...
A wolverine? You
know, a wolverine, or like a rhino. Yeah.
Rhino's good.
Or like a angry zebra, like a really angry zebra.
Yeah. Angry zebra on horseback.
You know, tempered. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say like bacon-covered date should need a different animal.
Okay, so it's still... Actually, sorry, I got that wrong. So it's a devil on angry zebra back.
Okay.
That's what you like.
That sounds much more reasonable, actually.
That's what you're into.
Have you ever seen those zebras that are bred with horses? So they're half zebra and half horses?
No.
It's not very exciting because they kind of look alike anyway.
Yeah, because they're sort of like that. I think I assumed a zebra was half horse anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're actually different, but they can actually interbreed. I was looking because I saw, a liger, which is a lion and a tiger. Mm. I'm like, well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I wonder how it would look with other animals. And they're all very uninteresting. this is similar to what was there before, except now you have stripes.
Yeah, because I guess the sort of animals that you can crossbreed are quite similar anyway. Like, no one's ever going to do a cat and a slug.
Right. Well, there's a Dr. Moreau element, I feel like, in the air right now.
Yeah.
They're doing all sorts of stuff, like growing ears on rats and shit.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
So a slug
would have to be the male.
Huh.
I would say.
Do you think?
A male cat would absolutely destroy a female slug.
That's true.
Right?
Cats have got spiked dicks.
Right, there you go.
Wait, so you're saying it would be a female slug and a male?
No, it'd have to be a male slug and a female cat.
I'm not suggesting they actually fuck. I don't think that's how these things work.
Yeah.
You're imagining them like in bed together. I think they have to, like, when they crossbreed things, they could just take sperm from one and the egg from another and do it in a test tube rather than put them in a room together and put on Barry White.
But it's very romantic of you that you imagine something else.
It wasn't romantic. He was imagining a male cat fucking his female slug to death.
Well, it's more romantic than taking cells and mixing them together in a lab.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
An exploding woman?
That's my problem with ligers and stuff like that. When people are like, there's a liger or there's like a zebra horse, half zebra, half horse thing, and you see it, and like you say, it's like not very interesting, but I think, well, the reason why you've lured me in here is because when you said half zebra, half horse, you just made me imagine a zebra and a horse banging, and I'd rather see that. You know? That'd be more exciting, wouldn't it?
It would be, actually.
Imagine seeing a lion and a tiger having sex. It'd be so scary.
It would be very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tricky wank.
Yeah.
Because I'd imagine they'd be very angry that you disturb them. Or potentially embarrassed.
Be angry at each other in a way as well. Like, I don't.
We're not supposed to be together.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, it's sort of a Romeo and Juliet situation going on.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit. But I don't know how we've got onto this from dates and bacon, but like.
Do all the podcast episodes go in very bizarre directions?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Don't worry, you're not the first. You won't be the last. We can only apologise.
So bacon cover dates are in the bread anyway, but you've got this. Is it spicy, this chicken soup?
Not very spicy, no. No.
I love coconut soup.
Coconut soup. Very nice, though. It's very, and it's obviously very warm, and on a cold day, it's a nice little treat. It has a little galangal in it, which I don't. It's a weird. I don't exactly know what it is.
No, me neither.
But it's in the soup, and I like it because it sounds amazing.
Yeah,
galangal.
Yeah, I've never heard it before. It sounds very galangal. Onomatopoeic, like someone glugging a soup.
It does sound like a glug. Yeah,
galangal.
Yeah, I'm making that.
I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, but could it be galangal? No, galang. I think it's galangal. That sounds right.
Sounds like another animal that's like made up of two animals.
Yeah.
I don't know what two animals there'd be. Not really. That's where my improv skills.
I'm just trying to think.
Absolutely flounder. Is there a place you've had this soup that's like the best?
There's a place called Thai Tom in Seattle that it's extraordinary.
Great. First Seattle shout out.
I think
on the
it's
podcast.
The first Seattle shout out we've had.
Oh, I love Seattle. Seattle's my favorite city in the country.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, how come? Yeah.
I started doing comedy there. It was right out of college. I went there, and I don't know. Some of my best friends are there, and something about the climate, even though it's always kind of rainy, it fits my personality, and I like it.
Lovely.
So you stood in the rain eating a 90% chocolate bar.
Correct. You're imagining years 23 to 25 right now.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, May I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
So, your main course now, which is not baked into the bread.
No, we hope. Unless you're... Reese's Pieces is your main course.
We respect that so much, obviously.
This is very tricky. This is hard. I've thought about this a lot. But I realized the side dish could potentially be another main course, but smaller. So, technically, you can sneak in two main courses.
Yes.
That's very good, yeah.
That being said, I'm going to choose Fool, which is a dish that started out in, I believe, the Middle East. The Fool that I like... is Eritrean / Ethiopian. It's from a restaurant called Cafe Salam in Seattle. It's fava beans, tomato, some peppers, some kind of cheese on top, and it's eaten with an Italian bread. I like the particular fool in this restaurant, Cafe Salam. First of all, the history of fool is fascinating because, I mean, people had to travel a great distance and then introduce this to another culture that put its own spin on it. Italian bread, because Italy was in Ethiopia, right? They were, like, colonized Ethiopia, so, like, the Italian bread. But this particular restaurant doesn't get Italian bread. They get French bread from a Cambodian bakery. Wow. Because the French colonized Cambodia. The amount of death and destruction involved in this incredible meal makes it so much more fulfilling. So many people had to suffer for me to eat this. There's something about that. It's so beautiful. And so
tasting sort of delicious sadness with every bite.
It's like, oh, all of history is in this. It's a delicious meal. It fills you up.
So is it like a stew? Is it like...
Kind of. It's like a very thick stew, but you need to use the bread to kind of... You know, you wouldn't use a spoon. You would use the bread to, like, scoop up the
like
fool.
A dip.
Kind of like a dip, yeah.
Halfway between stew and a dip.
Yes, halfway between stew and dip is accurate. I never thought about that way.
A dip.
Yeah. Oh, that feels like it should be a side dish then.
No, because I like that it's...
It's heavy.
It's good. That'll fill you up, right?
It has some oil in it. It's heavy. It's heavy. It'll fill you up, absolutely.
Yeah. Side dish shouldn't fill you up. So this is the main course.
And I take it you just want normal French bread, not your bread from the bread course, because you don't want any Reese's Pieces dropping in your fool.
Correct. Absolutely. As much as I like the different cultural diffusion elements of this, I don't want Reese's Pieces to be a part of this experience.
I think there's enough cultures involved in your main course that you need to start introducing American candy to the situation.
Although if you like death and destruction, I'd say American candy is probably quite a good addition to the dish.
Have you had any since you've both been here?
I had a Hershey's Kiss yesterday.
How did that feel?
Ooh. I think Hershey's tastes like human urine.
but he keeps going back for more.
What's your default chocolate in the UK? Is it Cadbury?
No, I would have... If I was just picking up any bar from just like a service station or a petrol station or something, I would get a Kit Kat Chunky with peanut butter.
Huh. Whoa.
I'm a sucker for a peanut butter chocolate. So I quite like Reese's.
Yeah.
Because it's just so sweet.
Right.
But Hershey's is just absolutely
But
disgusting.
You don't have like a default chocolate, like this is the company that like Hershey's makes a big percentage of the chocolate that we have.
Sure.
Cadbury's make most of the chocolate in the UK.
Cadbury's and Nestle, I guess.
Nestle as well. I'd say like most of the Cadbury's ones I like, but at the minute I'm going for a big Milky Bar Buttons phase.
Ooh.
Because you're seven.
Yep. And I'm really enjoying the big bags of buttons when the buttons are massive and you get to eat them like that.
Genuinely, it would be a big thing, but I think they should cast you as the new Milky Bar Kid.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I interviewed the Milky Bar Kid.
Did you really?
Once. Yeah. One of the old ones. I interviewed him for a TV show, and it turned out that he was the Milky Bar Kid in the 80s, where the Milky Bar Kid was set in space and not a cowboy. And I was dressed as a cowboy for the whole interview. And then learned that he was actually the spaceman Milky Bar Kid. I'd absolutely wasted my time.
Did he even ask you why you were dressed as a cowboy?
No, he just kind of accepted it. And then I was like, you know, you're being the Milky Bar kid, you're out in the desert, and you're fighting everyone and going in the saloons and stuff. He was like, well, I'm going to space. I was like, what? What? So like, yeah, I'd be in space, I'd fight the Emperor Zarg. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, like, you're not the Milky Bar kid. So like that was pretty crushing actually, but he still signed a photo of me.
He signed a photo of you
to my favorite deputy. That's what he wrote.
My favorite deputy back on Earth.
Yeah, on Earth.
I end up having like sort of posher chocolate these days anyway. I'm completely obsessed with Choco Lonely, which is a Dutch chocolate company.
Choco Lonely.
Tony's Choco Lonely. Brightly covered packages. And they do an amazing, like, there's a caramelly one.
Yeah.
The plain one's great as well. They do a great almond one as well. It's absolutely delicious.
I love it. You know why? Because I feel like chocolate, especially on Valentine's Day, is branded as this romantic thing.
Sure, yeah.
And I like the idea that, no, but on a day-to-day level, it's really about the loneliness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So Choco Lonely is very good branding. Yeah. I appreciate that. Threw his name in there and everything.
Yeah.
Just him on his own, all lonely.
I like how it's Choco Lonely. And you wouldn't expect you'd want to be connected to it. Just make Tony's lonely.
Yeah, it should just be called Tony's lonely.
Because we always assume it's like Tony's as in it belongs to him. It's actually Tony is.
Oh, there's a pretzel one as well. There's with bits of pretzel in the Tony's Choco Lonely.
Oh wow.
Well, then I mean, it's the pretzel and the chocolate aren't lonely. They have each other.
Yeah, they've got each other, but Tony doesn't.
No, Tony doesn't.
Tony's still lonely.
It's like the opposite of your bread course. He's put bread in chocolate.
Right.
He's got pockets of bread in the chocolate there with the pretzel.
I'm an innovator.
Quite clever.
What's good about it as well is all the other chocolate you break off into chunks, like uniform chunks. This is all like crazy paving. Like it's all over the place. You'd snap a bit off. You might get a tiny bit. You might get a massive bit. And there's a huge circular bit in the middle. Basically, it's designed to not share because you eat it when you're lonely.
Yeah. You're going to be having all of this so we can put the pretzels wherever we like.
Doesn't matter if you get a small bit because, you know, there's a big bit coming your way next.
Oh, good old Tony. First time I came to America, I went to San Francisco on my own for 10 days and I ate Reese's Fast Break Bar every single day, which was a big lump of like the peanut butter, but a chocolate bar size bit of the peanut butter, like all but with nougat kind of things, the sugary mess covered in chocolate, and it was the nicest chocolate I'd ever had at the time. I ate them so much that when I got home I immediately went to the doctors and asked for a blood test because I thought I had diabetes. But I always feel silly saying that around Ed because Ed knows more about.
Well, I am type 1 diabetic, yes. So.
Am I allowed to take a bite out of this arugula that you have brought?
Yes,
is that
absolutely.
What that is? Uh-huh.
Yes, I bought it along with me, Ed. I got it from Rustin and Daughters. Rustin and Daughters.
Less said about that, the better, James. I wanted to go there and you went there without me.
It's chocolate and what is that?
Ed, we could go together.
I don't want to go with you. I'm going by myself. That seems to be the way people do things around here.
Oh, Ed.
I'm going to go and get a bagel by myself I'm going to eat some Tony's Choco Lonely.
Oh, no.
Eddie Choco Lonely. Eddie Bagel Lonely.
Eddie Bagel Lonely.
I'm not organizing any more food trips during this. I'm not choosing any more restaurants for all of us together. I'm only going to places by myself from now on.
It's a single bagel.
Well, it's a single bagel that you knew I wanted.
You could have had it. We want to go again with you.
Well, bad luck.
Why?
You will not be getting my list of restaurants that I was planning on.
I don't understand.
I'm going by myself.
But can't we? We can be with you. Like, do you have to be there when we have it for the first time?
Because we're here together.
But there's not.
I will say Terrace Bagels, which is a block away from here, is fantastic. If you do,
is it better than Russ and Daughters?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Why did all your friends go to Russ and Daughters without you as well?
Isn't Russ and Daughters a chain?
Yeah, there's a few of them around New York.
Oh, they've been to all of them. They probably went yesterday.
No, we just been to one. Me and Benito went to one. You know, we had to leave earlier than Ed, and we.
You didn't have to.
We thought, you know, Benito was like, I'm so hungry. And we're like, let's look for a place. And we're like, oh, there's a Russian door. It's like right there. So we just went, we just looked on the maps. And then we just thought, we'll just go there and get one.
And you knew, as soon as you made that decision, I bet someone said, Ed'll be annoyed if we go there without him.
No, we didn't say that. We didn't think that would happen.
You should know me better.
We thought it would be okay.
Sorry, Harry, I don't like that you have to witness.
Oh, Eddie Bagel Lonely.
What is this?
It's arugula.
But what does that mean?
It's isn't it? Like
I thought arugula was rocket.
No, yeah, that's arugula. This is R-U-G-E-L-A-C-H, is that right?
R-E-G-E-L-A-C-H.
That's right.
Correct. Five points to Hari.
Isn't it? It's like a Jewish cookie, right?
Yeah, it's like a little, like, it's like a Jewish Swiss roll.
It's lovely.
From what I can see.
It does look very nice.
It's very nice, filled with chocolate, raspberry, apricot, depending on different ones there.
Mm.
It's an assorted one. Mm. And pastry that goes around in a spiral.
I'm very hungry, of course, because I haven't eaten today.
Oh, dear.
So you've got this full for your main course.
Yes.
With the bread.
Correct.
And now your side, which you've said is another main course.
It's a main course. And this was tricky because I kind of wanted to make this. I wanted this to be the main course, but then I'm like, yeah. It's it's this dish called idli. It's a South Indian breakfast dish with my mother's peanut chutney, which is unbelievable. It's my favorite meal.
Oh.
I probably should have made it the main course, but I couldn't imagine full being a side dish because it's so filling.
Mm.
So if I only had two pieces of idli as a side, there might be just enough room to get that in.
Now, what is it?
It's I believe it's made with, I don't remember the name of the flour that it's made with, but it's made with flour, like many things are.
Yeah.
And it's fluffy. It's like a little rice cake. Oh, rice. Right.
The answer was in you all along.
Yes. And it's like it's a fluffy and the chutney. It's like it's a nice thick peanut chutney with different spices in it, and it's delicious.
I don't think I've ever had peanut chutney
that
before.
Sounds amazing.
It's not really a thing that you one normally finds. My mom based her recipe on, I don't know who, someone else's recipe. I think maybe someone from my dad's side, and then she put her own spin on it, and it's incredible. I've never had anywhere else.
Is it sweet as well?
No.
So it's just like,
but you taste the peanut for sure, but it's like, there's definitely a little kick to it, depending on how, but it's good. It's definitely savory. Yeah.
So they're like little cakes, aren't
they? Yeah, little, right. I wonder if I have, hold on a second.
Yeah, it's quite a good side dish.
Yeah, I actually think you've picked the right
one. Yeah. Couple of little cakes.
Oh,
they're right there.
You actually got them.
So they're like, they look like flying saucers.
Correct.
Yeah.
Big flying saucers. Like, giant, well, not giant flying saucers, that gives it, but like big.
Not as in like ones with actual aliens on.
Yeah, but not as in the sweets either.
No. They're puck-sized.
Puck-sized,
yeah.
Flying
now, sauce. You have some in the fridge there.
Yeah.
Does that mean you made some or did your...
My mother made some, gave me some for me and my girlfriend to eat later.
Mm.
And that's why it's in the fridge right now. Perfectly timed.
And do you have the peanut chutney as well?
No, which is very bizarre because to be honest, I don't want to eat it without the peanut chutney. Like, it's really a conduit to the peanut chutney.
It's a chutney vehicle.
It is definitely a chutney vehicle. I mean, the idli itself is fine, but like, you know, it gets a little boring after a while. Mm-hmm. It's just bread. I really eat it for the peanut chutney.
Now, this might be an outrageous suggestion.
Tell me.
But if you've got the full there as well, is there a world that you dip the idli in the full?
Oh my God, I've never thought of that. I mean, I just can't imagine a world where those two things would coexist other than in the world we've created right now.
Yeah.
The only other world I could imagine it existing is if I was on death row and they let me choose whatever I wanted for my final meal and they would actually follow up on it and do it properly. Then I could have both those things and I could attempt it because at that point, why the hell not?
You got to try it.
You got to try it. But yeah, other than that, no, I can't imagine.
You wouldn't do it?
No, I don't think I would.
No.
So even if it's all in front of you in the dream restaurant, you've got the French bread, you've got the full, you've got the idli, you're not, at no point, if no one's looking, you're picking up an idli and you're sneakily dipping it in.
No, I want to maintain the integrity of both dishes.
Okay, fair enough.
Even though I've really done a job on that bread with the bacon covered.
You got a lot of bread here.
There is a lot of bread here. It's definitely a carbo load. I mean, initially when you asked me to do this podcast, I thought it was my last meal.
Uh-huh.
And so it might just be just because of what I've chosen. Mm. I don't know if there's recovering from this.
When they do like the last meal thing on death row.
Yeah.
Do they get you whatever?
In theory, but I've seen enough specials where it's like, he asked for a chicken thing and this thing and that thing. And they gave him a cheese sandwich.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, or like, he wanted this fancy pizza from this place and it was a microwave thing.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the prison, but most, I mean, it's not. the budget is usually like keep it under $20 or something.
Okay.
It's not particularly.
Wasn't there a big thing of apparently the most popular Death Row meal was KFC, and KFC were really annoyed because it was like such a bad PR for them.
Which it should be a good PR thing for them. Yeah. Like if you had one meal left in the world, I would eat this. Of all the things there is to eat in the world, I would eat this chicken.
Yeah, I think it's either that or murderers eat KFC.
Yeah, yes. but everyone eats KFC.
Yeah.
That's it brings everyone together.
Yeah, oh my
murderers,
God.
Non-murderers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that so many people have in common is that we all eat KFC.
Why can't we just concentrate on that?
So that sounds delicious. That sounds like a very nice... Yes. I do think you've chosen...
Yeah, I think you've chosen the right side and the right main in that situation. Yeah.
So your drink...
Oh, this was really tricky.
Yeah?
Can I have multiple drinks?
You can tell us drinks that you've rejected.
And okay, you can't bake other drinks into your main drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, congrats if you figure out how.
There were three drinks options. The ones I rejected, I suppose, are Sprint, which is a discontinued Indian soda.
Great.
Discontinued in the mid-90s. I've only had it once. Mm-hmm. Me and my brother had about 6 or 7 bottles each because it was the most remarkable thing we've ever had. And then we never had it again.
Oh.
So that got rejected. It's a bummer.
What flavor was it?
Barely remember it. Only had it once, but it was, I can't remember, but I remember it was like, what the hell is this?
Was it called Sprint because everyone who drank it had to just do lots of
really quickly? Right. The second drink is another discontinued Indian soft drink, Gold Spot, which was huge. It was maybe the biggest soft drink in India, Gold mm-hmm. Spot. And then Coke was finally allowed back into the Indian market, and their Fanta drink took over. And I think they bought Gold Spot out and eliminated it. And Fanta is not the same thing.
So Gold Spot was an orange soda,
It was
right?
an orange yeah. soda. It tasted different than Fanta, and you can't have it anymore. It does not exist.
So Sprint, Gold Spot.
Didn't make it because they don't exist.
But we could do that for you.
We could resurrect them.
I didn't think about resurrection.
What were you going to go with?
Henry Weinhardt's Root Beer. It's a root beer company made by the beer company Henry Weinhardt.
Uh-huh.
I had it for the first time in Seattle as well. It's popular on the West Coast. They also have Thomas Kemper, which is a fantastic soda company, and they also do incredible root beer. But the Henry Weinhardt's, even though it's made with high fructose corn syrup and not actual sugar, uh-huh. is my preferred root beer. I love root beer. That's my favorite all-time root beer.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever had root beer.
What? How many times have you come to America?
I've never had root beer.
Well, we'll get a root beer right after this, then.
I don't even know what it is, really.
Me and Benito always go and get him without him.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You've never had root beer.
Root beers together. Me and little B.
What is it?
It's, have you had sarsaparilla? Of course
nope.
you haven't. Right. It's, I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I only know the word. American
I only
boy.
Know the word sarsaparilla. And again, apologies, Hari, from The Simpsons.
I'm so sorry. I didn't think it would come up again. It never comes up on the podcast. It's come up twice now.
I hate to tell you, I have a family unit just like The Simpsons. UK also has nuclear power, just like Springfield's.
I'll tell you another drink I like, a Slurpee.
Just like this. It's actually slushies on The Simpsons.
Is it slushies on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's Slurpee from?
7-Eleven.
Oh, so Slurpee's the real one?
Slurpee's the real one.
Oh, I thought Slushy was the fake one and Slurpee was the Simpsons
one. No, because we have Slush Puppies.
Slush puppies are a thing, but Slurpees are a branded drink from 7-Eleven.
So a Slushy is in The Simpsons.
Yes, it might also be real, but that's...
See, how can people accuse you of hating The Simpsons? How you know everything about it?
I know everything from about till about season 10.
Well, even the writers don't know what happens beyond season 10. No one has any interest.
I'm not shocked considering the plots have been repeating for the last 20 years.
We definitely should dig into what root beer is.
Yes.
There is a bit of a medicinal taste to it if you're not used to it. Mm. You know, I definitely hated it as a kid, but as I've gotten older and my palate more sophisticated, I finally enjoy this kid's drink.
Yeah, sure.
your palate's finally developed to that of a 12-year-old.
Yes. Yeah. It's really remarkable to go to a bar and ask for root beer and see responses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to see my response when they actually do have root beer. Yeah. I'm very happy.
It is one of those drinks, though, where I've had it and I've enjoyed it, but I think I can feel my teeth dissolving.
lots of sugar.
Oh, yeah. Like, even more so than, like, most soft drinks. I'm like, oh, I am now, melting my
So
teeth.
Maybe this is why I haven't had it, because I'm type 1 diabetic.
Mm.
I never have the full fat drinks.
Oh.
Do they have, and is it worth it, having a diet root beer?
They do have it.
Not the same?
It's never the same. I mean, I think you'll get the essence of root beer if mm-hmm. you have the diet. You'll have the essence of, oh, this is, I vaguely get the taste of it. Would it be possible for you to have a sip of regular root beer? Or you couldn't even have a sip of it.
No, I could have a sip of it.
Right.
I just wouldn't drink like a whole can.
Right,
or
right.
But yeah, I could have a sip of it
A sip or two, you'd get that idea.
Fair enough.
If you can, I'd say Stewart's is pretty solid. If you're going to go with the main team, you have A&W or Barks, that's fine. That's your standard root beer. But if you could get a Stewart's or a higher-end company, I'd recommend
But what's
it.
The one you like?
Henry Weinhard's, but that's not available everywhere. If you can get it, I strongly suggest it. I don't think Thomas Kemper is available. That might be just in the West Coast, but... Yeah, I like trying different root beers in different cities.
Yeah.
Like the local brewers, breweries and stuff.
What makes that one better than the others?
Tastes good.
Yeah.
I like the taste of it. It's nice.
Yes. Yeah. Also, this is like three soft drinks you've put forward here. Are you not
a
drinker?
I don't drink very much. If I was to drink, if the choice was an alcoholic drink, I mean, this doesn't make me sound that much better, but I would have Krabby's alcoholic ginger beer.
Okay,
probably.
Yeah.
Sure. So that's where we are. Yeah.
Or I would have this Belgian beer called Fruly that's made with strawberries.
Fruly, yeah.
Okay. Are you familiar with Fruly?
I'm familiar with Fruly, yeah.
They have it in this place. They used to have it at this bar in Angel, I think, that was called The Bull.
Right, okay.
But, yeah.
So you like the sweet drinks?
Yeah, yeah. I like sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I haven't had Fruly in so long. Oh, man, it's been at least 10 years since I've had Fruly. You can't find it here.
Yeah.
I've been looking.
I'm sure there's some, like, you know, we're in New York. I'm sure there's some sort of trendy beer importer mm-hmm. who can get you a bottle of Fruly.
Maybe I should try, but is it worth spending 20? Yeah, it is worth spending $20 to get a single bottle of Fruly. I've only had it off the tap, to be honest.
There's people in the UK who spend like £20 for a box of Fruit Loops. So I'm sure it happens. It happens the other way around here with beers.
So you got your lovely sweet drink there.
Uh-huh.
And now that leads you into a lovely sweet dessert, I would hope. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about it. About
I think
this.
You're fine. James is always worried that people aren't going to pick like a lovely sweet dessert, but it's clear you like sugar.
I mean, I had Reese's Pieces on here, but we've already done that.
I've already had the Reese's Pieces in the bread.
I think what we're going to do, and I've thought a lot about this, we're going to have an acai bowl, right? Which is delicious with... mango, but the mango is going to be Alfonso mango,
mm-hmm.
which is about to get that to America. It's $100 for 6 mangoes.
Right. Yes.
It is mango.
Right.
The most popular, most expensive, best mango.
Wow. Right.
Alfonso mango.
Lovely.
And I would want that on the acai bowl.
So the acai bowls.
Yes.
I don't think have really filtered through to the UK.
Not
yet.
Really.
Oh, they're lovely.
So it's like a fruit, right?
So an acai, I think it's like a berry or a fruit, and it's supposed to be extremely healthy for you. So what people do is they grind it up and they ice it up, and they turn it into like almost like an ice cream that you put on the bottom, right? And then you put granola, and you put different types of fruit. You might put some goji berries on it, so maybe some honey, perhaps add protein to it, or some peanut or almond butter, and you eat it. So it's technically healthy, but it's full of sugar.
Yeah.
So much sugar. And I put it as a dessert to remind myself that it is a dessert and I have to stop eating it for breakfast.
Yeah.
Because it's full of so much sugar, even though it is like the healthiest unhealthy dessert you could have.
I think that there's a whole thing with things like that and granola. And we went to a place yesterday. I had some coconut yogurt with more coconut on top and cashews. And it's all like, this is healthy. It's not. It's too tasty.
Yeah.
It's
that's how you know.
Too tasty. Yeah,
that's
how
you know. Yeah.
That's immediate red flag. Yeah. This tastes nice. Oh.
Oh no. Don't you go to
this healthy place. No, this healthy food is delicious. Oh boy. Oh,
may as well have had a chocolate only. when you know that this isn't sucralose or some artificial sugar, like this tastes like real sugar. You're done for. It's no longer.
A friend of mine took me to like a health food supermarket in LA once, and they were like, "This is." it tastes so good here. Get the sugar-free cakes and this kind of stuff. And I tried them, and they were not good. And that's how I knew it was a proper health food place. Correct, I was like, correct. I kind of had to say to her, you know what? This is a proper healthy place.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely have found a really healthy place here because none of this is fun to eat. I didn't have a good time with it. A single mouthful here, but you have found a very healthy place. So.
I will say, I mean, fruit is the it's healthier than having another dessert because it's fruit, so it's natural sugars and stuff. And
still sugar, helps. Though.
Still sugar. And the berries are they're healthy, but again, they're antioxidants and superfoods.
Mm-hmm.
Still sugar. Yeah. Honey is sugar.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Granola has sugar in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all sugar.
But honey's like keeping the bees employed, so that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, you can always like make yourself feel better. There's the if you're going to weigh up the kind of guilt, the guilt of scales, you know, makes you feel better.
You're supporting local bee economies.
Especially, yeah.
If we weren't in biz. Eating honey though, the bees wouldn't stop making it, right?
Yeah. They'd stop.
I don't really understand how bees work.
I'd love to know if there was a honey boycott, what would happen?
Yeah.
Where are we going to sell this honey?
Yeah. We got so much. If the bears don't want it.
What would they do? Would they, like, go to gap year or something?
Yeah.
We're going to take some time out.
Would they overthrow the queen like, you failed us?
Yeah. We're going to read your order back to you now. See how you feel about it.
Okay.
You would like White Rock Seltzer.
Yes.
Olive bread with Reese's Pieces, bacon-covered dates, and olives in little cavities baked inside the bread.
Yeah, that there's some regret there, but yes.
Starter, some tom kha soup.
Tom kha soup, yes.
Tom kha soup, sorry.
That's right.
With chicken Thai.
Yeah.
Chicken Thai, of chicken from Thai Tom.
Yes, sorry. Correct, Thai Tom in Seattle.
I'm misreading my own writing here. Benito didn't write it for me. Main course, full.
Yes.
From Cafe Salam?
Yes, in Seattle as well.
So that's Seattle.
With their Cambodian French bread.
Very important.
Yeah.
Side dish, idli with mum's peanut chutney.
Correct. But only two because you got to save some room for dessert.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Drink, Henry Weinhardt's root beer.
Correct.
Would you like that in a glass or the bottle?
Bottle.
Dessert, now that you have to help me with this one, acai bowl.
Yeah, acai bowl.
So how do you feel about that?
The one thing I regret now that I look at it, there are no vegetables in here.
No.
Oh, there are no vegetables in there.
And there's nothing green or healthy in the slightest.
No.
Other than the acai
dessert,
bowl.
The dessert, yeah.
Can I throw in salad of some sort?
No, it's too late now.
I mean, you can bake it in that bread again.
Yeah.
You can have a full salad in the bread.
Wait, I have a solution. I want to add some coffee to the end.
Yes, you can do that.
There isn't enough fiber or vegetables, and at some point,
So you add in the coffee you can get everything moving.
Correct.
Right. That's a really good life hack, I think. Don't eat vegetables, just have a coffee.
Just have coffee. Meal.
You will die eventually, but at least you'll go to the bathroom at some point.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. That sounds like a delicious meal.
Yes, and, some of it definitely does.
Thank you very much for joining us in the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I can't wait for you both to try root beer.
And there it is, the delicious, interesting, and occasionally slightly weird menu of Hari Kondabolu, thinking specifically about the cavity bread.
Yes, the cavity bread. I saw him regret it.
Yeah, absolutely.
As he was decided on it, to be fair to him. But, you know, big fans of Hari will not be surprised that he has mango in his dessert. That is
he loves mango.
He's talked about it a lot on stage. He's talked about it a lot. People know that that's his favorite, Alfonso mangoes.
As he was talking about the Alfonso mango, behind him on the shelf in his apartment was a painting of an Alfonso mango that a fan had done for him. So
no question.
We should have guessed
what
really.
It was going to be. Yeah. We were wrong to think it was going to be Bertie Bott's every flavor beans. It wasn't. And so that's why, although maybe he'd try the Alfonso mango flavor Bertie Bott bean. Maybe there's one of them.
I'm sure he would, but it would be like you wouldn't be able to tell the difference color-wise between the mango one and the sick one. Or
it'd probably be quite similar.
Baby
similar
poop or something.
The urine one or something. Roll that dice.
So well done, Hari. You got through the meal without being removed from your own apartment. It was a pleasure to have him in the Dream Restaurant.
Such a pleasure. Also, if you want to hear more from Hari, you can see he's got his special on Netflix called Warn Your Relatives.
Warn Your Relatives, it's called. And go and check out his documentary, The Problem with Apu. It's very interesting, very well made, and Hari is great. So thank you very much to Hari for that brilliant menu.
Glug, glug, glug.
Hello, I'm your dad's friend, Lou Sanders, and I've launched a new podcast called Cuddle Club. It's better than it sounds, actually. I talk to special guests about cuddling. There's not another podcast on cuddling, I thought to myself. Guests include Catherine Ryan, Richard Osman, and Alan Davies. It's a perfect gift to yourself or to loved ones, because it's actually free to download. I'd love you to listen, but you're going to be the loser if you don't. It's worth reminding you that there's no other podcast about cuddling. It's business gone crazy. It's available on Apple Podcasts. Of course it is. Acast, yes. Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe now, please. Don't be an absolute dick piece.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.